relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Let's go to our first guest of the day. You've seen him a lot on Fox News, especially on Tucker's show. He is a Grothendieckian centrist, whatever that means, according to his Twitter bio. He's Darren Beatty of Revolver. Darren, welcome to America First.
It's great to be here. Thank you for having me, Seth.
So first things first, I got to give you guys at Revolver massive, massive credit for, I mean, of all the journalistic outlets out there, you have done the most in-depth analysis of the videos, of the iPhone footage from January the 6th, who's Ray Epps, who's the guy on the tower. Everybody out there, you need to read those two in-depth articles on the movements, the events of January the 6th. Add to that Julie Kelly's amazing pieces at American Greatness, and you'll have a much better picture of what actually happened on that day. So congratulations to you, Darren. We can talk about that in our next segment, but we've got a couple of minutes here. Elon Musk, not going on the board, good news, because then he can engineer a hostile takeover of Twitter. Give us your take of how much of a cat amongst the pigeons Elon's recent purchases have been.
Well, I think it's extremely significant and certainly portends good things, although we'll have to wait and see how things actually materialize. But what I've been trying to caution Elon is that he needs to understand exactly what he's getting into. This is not any ordinary hostile takeover, because Twitter is not an ordinary company. Despite its relatively modest market cap by corporate standards, it is, in Elon's correct characterization, the global public square. And control over the global public square is virtually priceless in a society such as ours. And so if he goes for Twitter and attempts to make it an actual free speech platform, this amounts effectively to what I'd call a declaration of war against the regime, and he better be prepared for what's coming.
I've said it a couple of times on my show that one of the most satisfying things about that cesspit that is social media over the last 4 or 5 months is the increasingly political stance two individuals with massive sway have, and that's Elon Musk and Jordan Peterson. Do you think Elon, I mean, look, he's clearly an incredibly bright guy. Do you think he understands the danger of the territory that he's walking into?
I think on some level he certainly does, and he is an extremely smart person. I simply think it's very easy to underestimate what he's getting into, because it's actually quite opaque and difficult to understand what Twitter actually is. It's not simply the epicenter for the incubation and dissemination of narratives. It's not like where journalists, celebrities, captains of industry communicate to the public. It's also increasingly the center stage for public diplomacy among nation states, and increasingly even an arena for what the national security apparatus calls hybrid warfare. For instance, there was an account that tweeted information that contradicts some of our propaganda pertaining to Russia and Ukraine that was deleted by Twitter today.
We will continue that question. Fascinating question. What is Twitter? Darren Beatty, the founder of Revolver News. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First.
Portion. Christians of America First are brought to you in part by the International Fellowship for Christians and Jews.
So I need to know, guys, how do you like the new studio? Can we do something really dangerous now, John? Can we, like, zoom out? Can we show people the rest of the studio? Is that possible? Are we cutting to another camera? Oh, my gosh, we've cut to another camera. I think we're going to have some very special guests in those two chairs in studio later today. Two of your very, very favorites. When we were on YouTube, we do an interview with them, and we get 500,000 views in 24 hours. So stay tuned for the third hour for One-on-One. But first things first, this isn't NPR. We don't get $500 million a year from the taxpayer. This is a free market enterprise. Please support those that make this show possible. People like the great Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, the pillow that never gets soft, never gets loses shape or gets hot. More than 51 million sold. President Trump loves them. I use them. My whole team uses them. Use my name and Mike will give you up to 66% off his amazing line of more than 150 products. Go to MyPillow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A, or call 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468, promo code G-O-R-K-A, MyPillow.com. The left wants to crush him. Let's show Mike some love. We are back with Darren Beatty, the founder of Revolver News. Amazingly impressive that this organization has only been around for a couple of years. You've got to check out their reportage on January the 6th. Let's finish our discussion, Darren, on Musk, Twitter. And you said something fascinating, the lack of certitude over what Twitter is. I tend to agree with you, but could you expand on that for our millions of listeners and viewers across the country? What do you mean by that?
Right. I think it's a particularly acute expression of sort of an anomalous feature of the media business generally. And that is that at the highest level, the influence that a media organization can wield on the public is worth far more than its profitability in strictly monetary terms. And to make that more concrete, my example is, for instance, Home Depot is a much larger company than Twitter. And yet the question of who controls Twitter is vastly, immeasurably more consequential to the nation and to the various powerful stakeholders in the nation than the question of who controls Home Depot. So it's a very deceptive type of business because its value is somewhat hidden and non-transparent. But as the global public square, the Twitter is the epicenter for all kinds of information operations, psychological operations. As I pointed out, it's increasingly a stage, an arena for hybrid warfare between nation states whose proxies are allowed to have their slogans and their memes and their interpretation of events go viral. So it's a tremendous asset also to our national security state. And so there's just so many stakeholders wrapped up in controlling how information flows in and through Twitter that for someone like Elon to step in and disrupt all of that, he's stepping into something that, as I said before, it amounts to a declaration of war on the regime and its most important stakeholders.
Well, we're very excited for what Elon is doing. Let's go back to the topic we started with. We've got like a minute left with Darren Beatty. Everybody's got to read their coverage of January 6th, who Ray Epps is, who is the commander on the scaffolding. You have covered this more than anybody else. What happened on January 6th, if you had to describe it right now, Darren?
Well, that's a very complicated question, would require a much longer answer. But I think it's sufficient to say briefly that the dominant narrative presented in the media is a hoax. It was not an insurrection. And I think it's absolutely fair to say that the evidence strongly suggests that some of the key militia groups imputed to the most egregious behavior January 6th, some of these key groups, the feds had infiltrated these groups and had acted inappropriately and to some degree are responsible for A lot of the insurrection-y behavior that they blame generally on Trump supporters. And I think you can see as a template the Michigan case, which has numerous striking parallels. And the Michigan case just fell apart catastrophically. 12 out of the 26 so-called Michigan kidnapping plotters turned out to be federal agents or informants. And I think that's probably a decent template for how to understand January 6th.
A hoax. First, it was the Russia hoax, then the telephone hoax, and then came January the 6th. That is a very, very good description.
Fedsurrection, we call it the Fedsurrection.
The Fedsurrection. We're going to have Julie Kelly on for a whole hour one-on-one. I think we might have to have this gentleman back as well for a longer discussion. In the meantime, follow him, Darren J. Beatty, B-E-A-T-T-I-E, and follow his colleagues at Revolver News. I'm Sebastian Gorka. Your call's next, 833-33-GORKA. That's 833-334-6752. Coming to you live from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor, pain relief that works, pain relief that's real, pain relief that is liberating tens of thousands of Americans across the country, me included. But it's not just me. It's people like Yvonne from California. This is Yvonne's story. Both my husband and I are in our 70s and are so grateful to have found Relief Factor. We tried so many other solutions, but none of them have given us the freedom of being pain-free like Relief Factor. Did you hear those words? Pain-free! That should be reason enough. Find out today. Order your Relief Factor Quick Starter Pack at ReliefFactor.com. Do it today. 800-500-8384. That's ReliefFactor.com. 800-500-8384.
Please. Oh, there he is. There's my guy. Good job. How's President. Your new show going? Good?
Very well, thank
I
you.
I heard good.
Thank you. Yes, indeed. It's so nice of the president to ask how the show is going. Well, right now it's going. We are in the second live hour of America First in our brand new TV studio. You can watch us, Salem TV. For some reason, I think the camera's working, although the red light isn't on. I think you need a red light in these TV studios, but I'm going to continue on faith. Why? Because we have a very special guest with us right now. It's been so long since I've seen her. She is the host of The Morning Answer, AM 590, AM 870, The Answer. She's our West Coast warrior princess. Jennifer Horn, are you there?
I am here. How are you? Look at that. Congratulations on your new studio.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you to everybody at Salem, to Phil, to Tom, to Dave, everybody who made it possible here. We are keeping our fingers crossed that it keeps working for the duration of the show. A little bit of shouting out there in the control room, but I'm sure the boys are managing. Okay, Jennifer, have you recovered from our Inland Empire extravaganza over the weekend?
How much fun did we have? Was it not the great day? I mean, seriously, when people say that California is lost, all you have to do is come on out to the Inland Empire for a little while, and you saw it, Seb, but California still has some fight left in it.
No, it does, and we had, what, 900 people at one event. Great to connect not only with you and Grant as the hosts of the event, but we had Charlie Kirk on stage, along with me and Larry Elder. And then, the best thing of all is to meet the regulars who call in, like Brent, like Antoinette. You know, these are the rare occasions when it's not just a voice down a phone line, but we actually get to connect to our amazing listeners and callers.
Yeah, that is what is so much fun, is when somebody says, oh, we're the person that calls you. We're Brent. We're Trent from Hermosa Beach. You actually feel like you're starstruck a little bit because they really are the stars of the show.
Yeah. But now it's going to be harder to organize these kinds of events because I guess very soon, Jen, you're only going to be working 4 days a week, right?
Yeah, 32-hour work week. It's coming to California. Are you ready for it?
So
this is a new plan.
So walk us through who's proposing this. Is this really going to happen or are we just in la-la land?
You know, well, obviously we're in La La Land, but this is an idea that is gaining traction in the state legislature. And what it would do is call for a 32-hour work week, which means that if you work 40 hours, well, 8 hours of overtime pay, if you're a small business, if you're a medium-sized company, you have to provide that extra overtime if you want to keep your employees at a 40-hour work week. And now, on the surface, Seb, obviously everybody is always searching for a work-life balance, right? We all want to figure out how we can be better in our personal lives and keep up our careers. But what people are not realizing is that companies are not going to usually take the loss in having to pay additional hours of overtime to their employees. They're simply going to hire more employees. So what does that do for the person who's going to work used to making 40 hours a week in revenue? They're going to be limited to 32 hours a week, which perhaps will mean that they need additional jobs. So the California State Legislature might now require that you, if you want to continue to earn the living that you're used to, pick up a second job in your spare time. It is so ridiculous. It is destined to backfire. But you know what? That's the left. We only think about the idealistic aspects of an idea, and we don't really think about the reality of how it's going to be implemented.
But what's the logic here? I mean, you know, you are literally the hardest working woman I know in radio. How are they trying to sell this? When you've got a job market that is as squeezed as it already is, what are they saying here? Why do they think people want to work less?
Well, they're saying that we need to do better and raise our quality of life. And so the way that we raise our quality of life, obviously, is working less, which, you know, look, for someone like you, Seb, or someone like me, we enjoy our job. I enjoy the time that I'm at work. I enjoy the people that I work with. And that's the key to really having a good and successful, fulfilling life, right? To enjoy everything that you're doing. But the insinuation from the California State Legislature and the people presenting this is that you have to be out of work, that work is the evil part of your life, and you have to be at home or having your free time in order to be a fulfilled human being. I don't know if this is going to sail through like they think. I think, of course, young people especially really seem to value all of their spare time working less, not more. That seems to be kind of a trademark of the millennial and Generation Z group. But I think when people realize that they're not going to be making the same amount of money and that they're going to have to take a second job, well, the backfiring here is that you're going to actually have to work more to get less, and you're not going to have any additional quality of life from working that 32-hour work week.
Well, let's talk about those young Californians. Both of my children are in California. My daughter in her mid-20s. Mm-hmm. Kind of shocked me. I think I shared this from the stage on our Inland Empire extravaganza. She's a very successful young woman, very successful at the job she does. And we're visiting her, my wife and I, in California because we're coming out to your event. And she says, mm-hmm. They went off shopping, my wife and my daughter. And before they left the hotel, she said, "Hey, Mom, would you mind treating me to filling up my car with gas?" And I thought, hang on a second. This is a young, productive, successful mm-hmm. woman. And she's not a 12-year-old who needs you to buy her candy. But for her, it's such a big deal when somebody else buys her gas. We've got this poll from ABC. Shocking, shocking. 71% of those polled said that they believe that Vladimir Putin is the reason for the high gas prices. In California, are they buying that
garbage?
Unbelievable.
Of course. And, you know, it's the Putin tax hike. And the favorite around here is that it's big gas business who, you know, big oil that is just so greedy and they don't want to let anybody else survive and that it's all their fault. That seems to be a big one amongst the liberals in California. But I think I shared with you when you told me that story, Seb, I felt like I had hit the lottery driving out to the Inland Empire to do this event. I found a gas station with $6.10 a gallon gasoline, and I thought that I had hit the lottery. Now, it's dropped about 10 cents, but this is ridiculous that we're celebrating gas in the low sixes. This is not normal. This is not where it should be. This is all created by the Biden administration, and you cannot buy what they are selling because gas prices have been on the way up for the past year. And here in California, instead of just reducing our gas tax or putting a moratorium on it for a couple of months, these lovelies up in Sacramento, led by Gavin Newsom, the governor, say, well, we'll just give you a $400 check to help you offset the cost, which is going to obviously be riddled with corruption. We already saw what they did when they were handing out checks during the pandemic, and like $50 billion ended up getting lost in fraud from the EDD, and a lot of it went overseas to China. I mean, do you really trust this government in California to send back money in the right way? I certainly don't. It would make so much more sense to just give people a break at the point of sale so that people who are commuting more will enjoy it more than a $400 check, and people who don't need it as much won't be taking away from those who do.
And how do they control the $400 of your own money, which has been taken away from you in taxes, that is being given back to you or to somebody else? How do they control that it's actually being spent on gasoline, Jen?
They don't. You get a $400 check if you have a car registered in California, and they'll give you another $400 check if you have a second car, even if it's sitting on the lawn, even if you are unemployed, even if you don't have to drive 1 mile, you're still going to get these $400 checks. Now, I'm all for giving people their money back in terms of taxes, but let's just be realistic here and say, instead of putting in a whole new layer of infrastructure or trying to figure out who gets the checks and who doesn't get the checks, just put a little hiatus on that ridiculously high gas tax, which is about $1 a gallon in California, and you're going to be helping people where they need it most. Because it's the low-income people, it's people in the middle class who are commuting, who live in the suburbs and then commute into the cities for their jobs. Let them have the break and let them have it over and over again for a 3 or a 6 month period, instead of just saying, here's a little bit, we've done our part, and then continue to raise the gas tax. It's scheduled to go up again in June.
Relax. It's okay, Jennifer Horn, because at least they've banned the gasoline-powered leaf blowers. It's okay. California will be
safe. It's
saved.
Okay.
It's okay. Relax, relax. The planet isn't going to burn.
Absolutely.
Follow her right now at Jennifer Horn. She's also with CRNTalk.com, host of The Morning Answer with that rapscallion Grant Stinchfield, AM 590, AM 870, The Answer. If you enjoy this show as much as we love making it, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast. Go to your favorite podcast platform. Go to Spotify. Plug in my name. Subscribe today. Back in a moment.
Of America First are brought to you in part by the International Fellowship for Christians and Jews.
That moment during a 3-hour radio show when you don't want to hear your associate producer say, I hate technology. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. Welcome back to the Salem Network. If you haven't done so already, please, please join us today. Register for our Stand With Israel tour. We're going to go to the Holy Land 10 days later this year. We're going to walk literally where our Lord and Savior walked the earth with my fellow Salem colleague, Dinesh D'Souza, and his lovely wife, Debbie. We're going to be in the places you may only have read about in the Old Testament. We're going to go to Jerusalem, the Garden of Gethsemane, the shores of the Sea of Galilee. Even if you've been to Israel, you haven't been with me and Dinesh. Go today to standwithisraeltour.com to reserve your seats. They have revised their policies. I'm not vaccinated and I'm going, so join us for the trip of a lifetime. That's standwithisraeltour.com, standwithisraeltour.com. We are back with our compere, our hostess with the mostest from the Inland Empire conservative revolutionary event last weekend. She's Jennifer Horn, host of The Morning Answer, AM 590, AM 870, The Answer, also crntalk.com. So many stories we can discuss. Please explain to me first why stabbing somebody multiple times gets you probation.
Welcome to George Gascon's Los Angeles. This story, you know, it takes a lot to even stun me at this point, Seb, because we have heard so many insane stories. But this story happened over a year and a half. It was a 13-year-old girl who was getting bullied by someone, I guess someone that she went to school with, online. And they were saying hateful things. You're ugly. You're fat. Your grandmother is burning in hell. All of these crazy things when her grandmother died. Just lots of negative, an onslaught of negativity from this other girl. Well, she went to her mother, told her mother about it. Her mother said, you know, people are just jealous of you. Change your social media profile and just ignore it. Be the better person. So that's what this girl did. And every time she'd change her social media profiles, this girl would find her and continue to harass her online. Well, one day, the girl and her family go to a park in Inglewood, and lo and behold, the bully shows up, finds out where this girl is, shows up, draws her into a fight, and this bully stabs this girl multiple times in the liver, in the kidney, in the pericardial sac. She had to have emergency surgery. She almost died, a 13-year-old girl. Now, the bully was arrested. She was arrested and she was charged with one misdemeanor felony for a weapons possession because she had the knife, and one count of cyberbullying.
Hang on.
She went through George Gascon's.
Multiple stab wounds. Why is it a misdemeanor for owning a weapon and not actual grievous bodily harm and deadly assault? Am I missing something?
Attempted murder at this point. I mean, the girl almost died. She had multiple organs that were punctured in this attack. And she was charged with literally one misdemeanor, and then this cyberbullying charge, which was really a whole bunch of nothing. So the victim's mother gets a letter that says, because of George Gascon's restorative justice system, this girl is going to be punished with 1 year probation. Now, she did not see jail time. She did not see a mental health facility. She did not see anything. A 13-year-old girl who tried to kill another 13-year-old girl just out in George Gascon's Los Angeles. And the family's outraged. And so now they're out there trying to tell the story. They are supportive of the recall effort of George Gascon. But here's the thing. If you're not going to prioritize the victim's family, Seb, let's talk about the criminal. Let's talk about a 13-year-old child who is not acting within the realm of what is normal or acceptable behavior. George Gascon is doing no one any favors by not punishing her to deter this kind of behavior in the future, not creating a lesson for this child to learn, or how about better yet, get this kid some help. Why not at least have a mental health component in all of this? Because this is not normal behavior. So George Gascon is hurting the victim, making LA that much more unsafe. And you're not even going to try to provide any help for someone like this who is exhibiting criminal behavior at 13. It is absolute insanity.
So here's the naive question for you. Is there not one individual, not one concerned citizen, one reporter with a soul who asks this individual at a press conference why it's good to give an attempted murderer a 1 year probation? Does anybody not ask him why he did this?
You know, journalistic curiosity is almost dead, isn't it? I mean, they used to be the job of journalism, especially locally, to ask those tough questions. But I guess to their credit, what makes it really difficult is that George Gascon is almost a ghost these days in Los Angeles. He doesn't make himself available to the press. He doesn't come out and defend his policies all that often. It's only when he gets really caught, like in the case of this so-called Hannah Tubbs, which was really James Tubbs, who now identifies as Hannah Tubbs, who I think we talked about a few weeks ago, was a biological male who assaulted a child in a Denny's bathroom. And then at 26 years old was caught for that crime, identifying as a woman, was put into a female juvenile facility, even though this person was 26 years old and biologically male. But because he was 17 when he committed the crime, he got to serve out his time in a juvenile facility. This is ridiculous. We found out that he had abused someone in the past. And George Gascon finally took some heat for it. And he said, well, maybe we'll make some changes to our juvenile recommendations now, our guidelines as to who should go into juvenile facilities. that was because he got caught with something so absolutely outrageous. He was forced into making a statement. But otherwise, Seb, it is very difficult to find the guy. He just hides out and he does all of his wrongdoing from behind the scenes, in the shadows, in his office. And the rest of us can't hold him accountable for it.
And do these stories that you and I discuss every week, like the 13-year-old, like the rapist that pretends that they're a woman and goes to a female prison, mm-hmm. do Californians know about these stories, or is it just people like you and me and Grant and our friends?
You know, I think there, yes, there is a component that mostly conservative media is giving this light. But I do have to say there are some local outlets who are really giving voice to the victims. And what's really impactful, I think, behind this recall effort of George Gascon, and I believe it will eventually make its way to the ballot in Los Angeles, the second attempt to collect signatures to force a recall is underway, and they are on track for collecting the amount of signatures that they need. That's the good news. But what's really impactful is that they have victims who have really driven this recall movement. And that forces the mainstream news media, the local media, to actually tell their stories. And so it's a little different than politicians or people who are just shaking their heads at what they think the policies of George Gascon are. These are parents who have had their children murdered, and their murderers are walking free because of George Gascon. When they tell their stories, the mainstream news media is forced to tell them. So it is getting a little bit more attention than I think it would have been if it was just a politically driven effort.
Well, I hope that his political career will shortly sunset. In the meantime, you give us the truth every single week. Follow this lady at Jennifer Horn, also crntalk.com. She's the host of The Morning Answer, AM 590, AM 870, The Answer. Your calls next here on America First. This is the Salem Radio Network.
You're listening to America First with Dr. G.
The Ukrainians are not going to give up. Their president has given another short video announcement where he makes things very, very clear. This is his message to the free world.
Russia launched a full-scale war against Ukraine on February 24th. Now it's April. Russia counted on capturing Ukraine within 5 days. That was the deadline they established for obliterating our country and destroying our democracy. But they had no idea who they were up against. Russia didn't know how much we cherish our freedom. We've been defending ourselves against Russia much longer than they invaders planned. We have destroyed more Russian weapons and military equipment than some armies in Europe currently possess. But this is not enough. Russia still has the capacity to attack, and not only against Ukraine. Poland, Moldova, Romania, and the Baltic states will become the next targets if the freedom of Ukraine falls. The images of Bucha and Mariupol have demonstrated real Russian intentions to the whole world. It could only be stopped by force of arms. It must be done now.
Can only be stopped by force of arms. Next, it will be the Baltic states or Poland, but they have challenged the wrong nation. Did you hear that? They have captured or destroyed more Russian equipment than some armies of Europe own themselves. We don't need to fight for the Ukrainians. They will fight for themselves. But let's support those trapped there, the women and children and the refugees, through the amazing offices of the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. Right now, they are flying tons of refugee aid, food and medicines into Ukraine and taking to Israel Jewish Ukrainians to safety. Please support this incredible mission. It is one of the most blessed things you can do. Please call the fellowship today, 800-970-5010. That is 800-970-5010. 5010, or just go to my website, sebgorka.com, and click on the Crisis in Ukraine banner at the top. That's S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorka.com, and the Crisis in Ukraine banner at the very, very top. I am delighted now to welcome back to our show somebody who's been on before. He has an amazing, amazing reach as a pastor around the world with the Leading the Way television and radio programs broadcast in 27 languages. He has a new book, perfect title for this day and age. It is called Never Give Up. Dr. Michael Youssef, welcome back to America First.
Thank you so much, Dr. Gorka. Great to be with you. I had such fond memory of my being in your studios not long ago. Thank you so much for having me.
We'll have to get you back into our brand new studios that are debuting today. So right now we are conversing via the amazing possibilities of technology. And I'm so far so good. Things are working well. So well done, everybody, on both sides of my team and your team. You've written 50-plus books, Pastor Youssef. Why this one and why this message? Please tell our audience.
Well, we live in such amazing time. In all my 73 years of life, I have never seen more people turning their back on the Christian faith, turning their back on morality, turning their back on biblical ethics. It's so depressing, and I'm one of those people that I don't just like to curse the darkness, but I like to light a light. And so as I thought about it, what could be greater word of warning, encouragement, alarm bells than the book of 2 Timothy, which is the very last words that the Apostle Paul wrote from that dungeon in Rome, which I've been there with my wife, and we've seen what a terrible place it was. This is where he was. And yet he was writing to his disciple Timothy, saying, look, here's what's going to happen. Here's the falsehoods you're going to face, and you need to stand up and be counted and never, never, never give up. And so that is really the message that I bring, not from me, but from the Apostle Paul. But then he goes on in that epistle and says, here's what's going to happen in the last days. The evil ones are going to go from bad to worse. And have you ever seen more lying across the land and across the world, really? The lying has become truth, and the truth become a lie. Darkness is light, light is darkness. And so this is the time I want to plead with everybody who loves God, everybody who believes in the biblical morality and biblical truth, to stand up and be counted. Don't worry about whether they like you or not. Don't worry about if they call you names or not, because our reward is in heaven. If not going to be here. And I believe it's going to be here, because we are on the side of the truth.
Have you identified, Dr. Youssef, the main reason that so many have given up on the word and on the Lord? Is it the secular culture? Is it the iPhones? Is it the media? What is the biggest demonic influence on faithless individuals?
I think all of these things are just basically tools, but the very thing, the most important part is the heart. People want to be liked, and the evil ones, and I'm sorry, but that's who they are. They are the foot soldiers of Satan, and they basically turned the table around and made us, the loving people, to be the villains, and that they who are going right against the scripture, right against the word of God, right against morality, to be people have something to be proud of. And so they turn the table, and that's what Satan does, always turns the table. And those weak ones, unfortunately, who, oh, don't call me names, I'm not bigoted, now I'm with you. And so we are surrendering. We're surrendering rather than standing up and said, hey, we love you, but we're going to tell you the truth no matter whether you like it or not. And that is really the price we're going to pay. But if you want to be liked by the world, if you're going to be liked by the secular media, you're going to accommodate. And that's the sad part. So it's the heart that is deceitful, above all corrupt. And then all the modern things that are happening, that the way the media is presenting things. I've seen people who grew up knowing the scripture and knowing the word of God turning their back because they don't want to be accused of being bigots.
Well, he's leading the way for decades, and he's not looking for approval. He's serving the truth. God bless you, Pastor Michael Yusuf. The book is Never Give Up. We need to get you back. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. You know me. I'm skeptical by nature. When I first heard about home title theft, I was, really? Is that a real thing? And yes, it is. Real estate crimes and losses aren't rare. They are common. And now they actually supersede credit card fraud. A cyber hacker can get into the title deeds, put themselves on the account of your on the title of your home and take out loans against it. Don't be caught out. Don't lose the most valuable asset you have. Go right now to HomeTitleLock.com. Put in your address. Find out if you've already been a victim. Use my name Gorka to protect your home right now. HomeTitleLock.com. G-O-R-K-A.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.